Hello, everybody. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Steve, and I'll be your host these next 2 days as we talk about this month's medicine feature called Life with Colored Blindness. Well, in the studio with me to help me discuss this topic, we have a great, great group of nurses from the United States. Let's meet them one by one. We'll start with you, Jessica. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, so happy you're here. And Christy, welcome.
Thank you. So nice to be here today.
Good. And Olga. Welcome, Olga.
Hello.
And finally, Christiana. Hi.
Hello.
And we have our very own Albert with us as well. Hi, Albert.
Hi, everyone.
We love having you here, Albert. You always have something fresh and fun to say.
Oh, I feel a lot of pressure now.
Well, friends, we thank you for taking time out of your day to study English with us, whether you're in the car listening or at home or maybe listening to this on your iPod. Thank you. We hope that we have some good words for you to study and improve your English. So let's get started with this topic, life with colored blindness. Now, this topic, everybody, it kind of made me think that there are things that are going on around us that we don't perceive, right? Because there are people in this world who don't perceive color. So I would imagine there's a lot more going on around us than we know. Have you ever thought of that, anybody?
Interesting.
Yeah, even those who can see color, we don't see the full spectrum, right? There's a lot of color on either end of the spectrum that we just don't pick up. So our bodies aren't able to pick up everything going on around us. I find that quite fascinating.
Right. I feel like the other day I was watching TV and they were introducing this sea creature called a rainbow shrimp. And it's able to see infrared, UV rays,
Exactly.
It's a whole spectrum that we cannot even like imagine. So I guess from day to day we kind of take for granted what we perceive as normal.
That's right. You know. That's right. There's a lot going on around us, maybe in the audio world, in our sight, that we just don't pick up on. And there are even people saying, like, there's this life force that gets emitted from every living organism, like plants. And they're creating these instruments to pick up on these life forces emanating or coming off plants. Have you ever read about that?
It's like an electromagnetic energy.
Yeah.
That comes off.
Exactly. And who knew that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, 50 years ago, who would have thought that there's something coming out of a plant or a flower?
Right.
So right. Who knows what else is going on that we haven't picked up on yet. So there are people in this world who are colorblind, and that's really sad to me. Have you thought about that? Like, that's kind of a gift to have the ability to look at color, right?
Yes.
Because we could go through life, and some people do, with just black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And color just brings so much more seasoning and interest to our lives, I think. So there are people, though, who are trying to help these other people who are colorblind so that they can see color. Scientific breakthroughs are adding color to people's lives. Okay, well, let's get started with the reading. We'll start on page 42. Let's open our magazines and read on the left-hand column, Special Glasses Promise to Open Up a New World for the Colorblind.
Life with Colorblindness. Scientific breakthroughs are adding color to people's lives. Special glasses promise to open up a new world for the colorblind. I am colorblind, but in the last few years, new sunglasses have promised to open me up to the world of color. I had my sights on the $379 Enchroma CX Gamma sunglasses. They were designed with 100 microcoatings to heighten color perception. A 53-year-old ex-Marine told me he broke down in tears when he saw the red in a brick building for the first time using enchroma glasses. Scientific breakthroughs. Scientists have made breakthroughs with color blindness, which is the most common congenital disorder in humans. Over 300 million worldwide don't see normal colors. Most are men who inherit it from their mother's fathers.
Okay, thank you, Carolyn, for that reading. Well, again, we are talking about special glasses that help people who are colorblind so that they can see colors. Now, the title says special glasses promise to open up something. And when we see that little phrase there, open up, it means to show something that was hidden or not previously known, to open up. I also think of another example. You often see videos going around on YouTube about little kids or people who can hear for the first time. Have you seen those?
Mm-hmm.
They're great,
yes.
Right?
Wonderful.
Now, that's another way we can use this word is after someone gets a hearing aid and they hear for the first time, a whole new world is opening up to them. They're perceiving something that they haven't in the past. I love those videos. They, some of them kind of make me, you know, tearjerkers, right?
Yeah.
Especially the little kid. Remember that one? The little boy, and he hears his mom for the first time. I love it. Well, something similar to that is happening today, but not with the ears, with the eyes. So how about Jessica? Start us off. We have somebody here who is giving a little talk, right? They're talking about themselves. And what does the person say right out at the start?
That they're colorblind?
Right. They're colorblind. But they're going to have some new glasses to open up the world of color. Now, how about Christy? Christy, these glasses, how expensive are they?
They're a little pricey.
Yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. They are pricey. Mm-hmm. How much is it?
They are $379.
Yeah. I think that would be worth it. Would you pay that much money?
Yes.
Would you, Olga?
Oh, yeah, I would.
If someone promised you, you could see color if you spent this much money, I would pay even more than that.
I'm amazed at how cheap it is. That's like half the price of an iPhone. So $379, I think it's a bargain.
Yeah. And I wonder if someday soon maybe they could make these in like contact lens form, right?
Oh, wow.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
So they didn't have to wear those glasses all day? Well, anyway, they are a bit pricey, but I think it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were designed with 100 micro coatings. When we see that word micro, Christiana, what do you think of when you see the word micro?
I think of something that's very small.
Exactly. Something very small, maybe even too small to see with the naked eye. And so there are many micro coatings to heighten color perception, so people are able to see color. Now, we're going to talk about now on line 11, an ex-Marine. He's 53 years old. And do you guys know any Marines? Husbands?
I have a friend that I went to high school with that's a Marine now.
Yeah, is he tough?
Yeah.
He's a tough guy, right?
They go through some intense training.
Yeah. Marines are tough people. They go through hard training, and they're probably the first to be sent into battle. But this guy was moved so much. This Marine actually started crying, right? We see that he broke down in tears when he saw the red in a brick building for the first time. So even tough people are going to be so emotional and start to cry when they can see color. And it is kind of tear-jerking. So let's look at this broke down for a minute. To break down means to be unable to control your feelings and to start to cry. Albert, have you ever broke down?
I think as I'm getting older, I'm being more empathetic. I'm able to relate and feel more emotions. So yeah, You know, when we use the word breakdown, sometimes we associate it with machines, a mechanical breakdown.
Yeah.
But now, in this context, we're talking about, like, your feelings. So, you know, sometimes in the movie theater, you might catch... I think what it is the roof is leaking, and it's been raining on my face. So, yes, I cry a little bit.
I like what you said. And breakdown is different than crying. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we differentiate between just crying and breaking down? Is one more serious than the other? I would say, Christiana, I think you would say yes, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Breaking down is more severe, crying.
Yeah, it's more emotionally charged, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of emotion. It's like something has been building up pressure and... all over time, and all of a sudden it just gets released and you like break down and it all pours out of you.
Right, and also like it doesn't have to be together. You know, sometimes when people break down, they express their emotions differently. Sometimes they don't cry, but they're still in the same state, depending on like in terms of sadness.
Yeah, so this Marine, he didn't merely cry, or a few tears didn't merely just roll down his face.
Mm.
He broke down. So that is telling of the power that is released or expressed when someone can see for the first time. Okay, next paragraph, scientific breakthroughs. Yes, Albert.
I just wanted to clarify. I don't think maybe it was the first time he was able to see. Maybe just he was able to see colors.
Oh, I'm sorry. You are right.
Yeah.
The first time he was able to see colors. And it was the first time... he saw the red in a brick building using these special glasses. Okay, good. Now let's move on about scientific breakthroughs. Scientists have made breakthroughs with colored blindness, which is the most common congenital disorder in humans. Who would like to pick that word up and help explain congenital? All right, Jessica?
It's really a big fancy word for... something that you're born with. So at birth, it's a problem you have or something different.
Okay. Are congenital disorders something that is going to stay with a person for the rest of their life, or are they curable?
Usually it would stay with the person throughout life unless they have some sort of medical intervention or help.
Okay. So they can happen even before birth, is that right? That it happens in the mother's womb? So these are disorders that happen before birth or at birth. And as Jessica said, they stay, generally tend to stay with people for the rest of their lives. And so if you're colorblind at birth, you're probably going to be colorblind for the rest of your life. Over 300 million people worldwide don't see normal colors. Most are men who inherit it from their mother's fathers. So this is something that's inherited. I didn't know that. And from the mother's fathers, there's something else that I think is inherited from mother's fathers in men. You guys know what I'm thinking about?
Baldness?
Yeah, is that right? Male baldness. I always heard it's your mother's father that you inherit it from.
Huh.
So, if you're a young guy and you're worried about your hair, look at your mother's father. see what kind of hair he has. That's what I was told. Have you ladies heard that?
No? I have not. That's a first.
Okay. Well, maybe it's just me.
I think you're correct on that, Steve. I think I should go home and FaceTime my grandpapa.
Yeah. Get some pictures.
Get some pictures. Odd request.
I think my mother's father, he passed away a few years ago, but he had some hair left. Not a lot.
Oh. You know what, Steve? Hats are really fashionable now.
Yes, they are. All right, friends, let's take a break and go to the next reading, Understanding Colored Blindness.
Understanding Colorblindness. The colorblind are almost all actually red-green colorblind. But that doesn't mean they can't see red and green. The colorblind can see the colors when they're vivid, but make mistakes when they're faint. And because so many colors, such as pink or purple, contain just a little bit of red or green, mistakes are common. Serious consequences. The colorblind are slower to respond to brake lights and have trouble telling if their steak is cooked. They're usually not allowed to become policemen, firemen, pilots, or electricians. Because the mutation for colorblindness is so frequent, the number of colorblind people in the world keeps rising.
Okay, before the reading, Albert and Jessica were having an interesting conversation. I wanted to share this with you guys because it talks about, they were talking about how this disorder kind of travels down through generations. Right, Albert?
Right. Well, I mean, it's just a new fact to me as well that men inherit it from their mother's fathers. And, you know, Jessica, could you help us out with understanding that?
Well, I know that a lot of recessive disorders are more common in men than women because women have an X and then two X chromosomes, and men have an X and a Y chromosome. So if you get the problem trait on one X chromosome and you're a woman, the other one will cover for you. But if you're a man and you get the trait on your only X chromosome, then you're stuck with the disorder or the trait.
It gets passed along.
It's interesting how one chromosome will cover another chromosome. Is that kind of what you said before?
It's kind of complicated, but it's because it's a recessive trait.
What does that mean?
There are dominant and recessive traits. So with a dominant trait, if you get the mutation or the, not the mutation, but the problem, then you'll automatically show it.
Okay.
Whereas if it's recessive, you have to get it on both chromosomes
okay.
to show it.
Okay.
If you get it on one, you just carry it, but you don't actually show the problems.
Right, right. And maybe in a more neutral topic, we all talk about sometimes eye color, hair color, right? Those
yes.
are also dominant and recessive. Like red hair, is that recessive, I've heard? Or if you have that chromosome or if you have that gene, I've heard that red hair is a recessive trait. You might have it in your family, but it only emerges or comes out on occasion. Not every child will have it.
Right. I mean, see, that's a really good point. I feel like if, you know, when children, when you see parents and their children, it's a physical outward. You can see dominant and recessive genes in action when they have black hair or, you know, brunette, and their eye colors follows like either the mom or dad. And I guess with colorblindness and mutations, it's on the inside, it happens.
Right. Yeah. Well, moving on. Thank you, Albert. The next paragraph, we're talking about colorblindness. And it's kind of a misnomer because people who are colorblind can actually see color. The problem is they can't differentiate colors very well. And Olga, what are the two colors that people have the most problem with?
Red and green.
Yeah. Can you differentiate those colors pretty easily?
I definitely can, and I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah. And those are two colors you really want to be able to tell the difference when you're driving, right?
That's very important.
Yeah.
Yes.
Red light, green light. Well, thankfully, those lights are in different positions on the machine, on the lamp there. Well, the colorblind can see the colors when they're vivid, but they make mistakes when they're faint. So it's really hard for them to tell the difference between red and green. Also, because many colors such as pink or purple contain just a little bit of red or green, mistakes with those colors are common too. It's very important. I remember watching a movie about a colorblind guy. It's an action movie, and the guy had to snip
The
wires of a bomb to save the day. And he's like, his boss told him, you got to snip the red one, right? And so he opens the thing up, and he's like, I can't tell which one's the red one. He goes, if you snip the other one, you know, you're going to die, you're going to blow up. And so that was the big moment in the movie, was he going to snip the right one? All right, let's move to the top of the right-hand column. Albert, would you take us into that paragraph, please?
Right, so there are serious consequences that I've never imagined until, you know, we started writing and editing and teaching this article. But for the people who are colorblind, they're slower to respond to brake lights, because sometimes they might mistake it for just regular lights on the back of the car. And they have even trouble telling if their steak is cooked.
Yeah.
Which can be dangerous.
Yeah, because inside the steak, if it's rare, it's red.
Right, and if you don't cook it all the way, even with chicken, even, you know.
Yeah. You know. Well, if it's well cooked, it doesn't look green, does it? No, I'm joking. It is a tough thing for them to tell if their food is cooked. Also, Christiana, there are some people who just can't work if they're colorblind. What professions are those?
It sounds like it would be difficult for policemen, firemen, and pilots, electricians as well, to work.
Okay, yeah. How about in your profession, nursing, do you think it would be okay to be colorblind? Could you work, or would it be difficult? What do you guys think?
We actually, before we start nursing school, they have us do a colorblind test to make sure that we are not colorblind.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yes.
If you were, does that disqualify you from being a nurse?
You know, they didn't tell us that.
Uh-huh.
Thankfully, none of us were.
Okay.
So
it certainly would make it more difficult.
It would, because, as you know, blood is red. Bile is green.
You don't want to mix those two,
no,
right?
No, we do not.
Bile is green?
Yes.
Is it, what shade of green is it? Is it olive?
It's
like a forest green.
Like a forest green. That's
some brown tinges.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows already that I kind of faint when I'm talking about blood.
I cannot help it. Really?
Yeah. Okay. So it would be difficult, certainly, for nurses. Electricians, as we said earlier, you want to snip the right wires.
For a bomb.
For a house. Well, that guy was kind of an electrician who had to cut the wires for the bomb. All right. The next paragraph has an interesting word, mutation. Would one of you like to explain that for us? What is a mutation? How about Olga?
So, from what I understand, a mutation would be there are 46 chromosomes in a normal human.
Mm-hmm.
So, a mutation would be like an abnormal
problem, change.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so these mutations, they're frequent, and so they travel from parent to child quite often, and they kind of, what did you say, spread out, or they get more common? Is that right?
Mm.
Yeah. The number of colorblind people in the world keeps rising because this mutation is so frequent. I didn't know that. Do you guys know anybody who's colorblind? I know a few people.
I don't, but you know, it's one of those things where you don't really ask someone about, and you can't. Not only you just show up with, like, "Hey, what color is this? And what about this one?" You failed.
You're right. You're right. It's not a topic people want to talk about.
Right, and it's also something that you can't pick up unless, like, one day I ask Steve to disarm a bomb, and he tells me he can't.
Or if I ask Albert to hand me that bag of bile, and he hands me a bag of blood.
I know, that's what I do.
Okay. All right, friends, let's wrap up the reading with the final reading, Seeing the Differences.
Seeing the Differences. I met Tony Dykes, the CEO of Enchroma, on a gray, rainy day. I described to Dykes what I saw through the glasses. Deeper oranges, crisper brake lights on cars, and fluorescent yellows that popped. I asked him if that is what a normal person sees. Dykes answered quickly. It's not something where it's immediate, he said. You are just getting the information for the first time. Over the following weeks, I wore my glasses every chance I got, stopping at street vendors to gaze at satin red tulips on olive green stems.
Okay, so the author met Tony Dykes, the CEO of the company that builds these special glasses so people can see color. And this person talked to Dykes and said, put on a pair of these glasses and described what he saw. Oliver, that's his name, Oliver Morrison is the author. So what did he see, Albert?
He saw deeper oranges, crisper brake lights, and basically he was saying that these colors popped, and what he means is like the colors were more vivid, they're striking. Whenever I think of the word popped, I think of popcorn, like a little kernel popping up.
Mm-hmm.
So these colors stood out for them, and the colors were namely like fluorescent colors, like fluorescent yellows.
Yeah, let's talk about that really quickly. Fluorescent, that's a great word, because I see that color a lot now. Where I live, there are a lot of people who wear fluorescent jackets when they go biking now in the park, or fluorescent yellow sneakers are the new fashion. Is that true where you guys live? It's a newer color. Every year, like, there's a new color, right? Last year, 2 years ago, it was purple. This year, it's fluorescent yellow. And it's a great color to wear when you're out in public, on the street, in the park, because it's very noticeable. People will see you because it does pop out. And so it's kind of a safety feature for people. People can be safer. Well, the guy says, over the following weeks, I wore my glasses every chance I got, stopping at street vendors to gaze at satin red tulips on olive green stems. So he is noticing everything, all the little details that he didn't notice before. So what was this vendor selling, Jessica?
He was selling tulips.
That's right, tulips. And again, imagine that would be really, really fun, like to put on these glasses and you start to see things that you haven't seen before. All these colors popping out. It's an exciting time for people to wear these glasses. And we're going to talk more about that tomorrow. A young man named Seth will wear these glasses and we're going to follow him around for a little bit and experience what he's experiencing. Well, we're out of time, everybody. We're so thankful that you've joined us today. Please join us again tomorrow for day two of Life with Colorblindness. Until then, from all of us here at Advanced, have a great day.